Welcome to the Wide for the Win podcast. Our goal at Wide for the Win is to help authors grow publishing success across multiple platforms and formats through education, training, support, and community. If you're interested in reaching readers around the world, diversifying your income as an author, and exploring the freedom of living a truly indie author life, you've come to the right place.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wide for the Win podcast. We are doing it live from Author Nation here in Las Vegas. Woo, so exciting. Today on the podcast, we have myself. I'm Erin Wright. We have Paul Austin Ardouin.
Hey, everybody.
Bradley Charbonneau.
Hi there.
And Amanda Petren.
Hi, everyone.
So we are just going to be talking today about what it is like to be at a huge authors conference and the different insights and things that we have learned thus far in the week, because this just started on Monday and today is Wednesday for anybody who's listening to this in the future. Why don't we get started with you, Paul? What are some of the insights you've gotten thus far?
Yeah, well, I've been to this conference when it was called 20 Books for maybe 4 years before. So I think, you know, the event is really good. I don't think we've seen any drop off in the quality of the presentations. And, you know, AI has become a really big thing. And so a lot of the presentations here are about AI. And I admittedly have been an AI cynic, but there are quite a few presentations here about doing AI ethically, and you know, it points out that AI isn't going away anytime soon, and that the people who are using AI to help market their books and sometimes help them plan or write or whatever can have a big advantage over the writers who aren't using it to help grow their business. So I think when I get back home, I'm going to look to see what AI tools I can use to help my business grow. I really want to use AI ethically, but I've already started with translations. And you know, I think Joanna Penn said it in her presentation this morning, that somebody came to her and said, hey, you're putting translators out of business. But really, I can't afford to have human translators for my books. But I can afford to have human proofreaders of the AI translations. So I'm actually hiring human proofreaders for my AI translations, which I wouldn't have done if I hadn't been able to get the translations done with AI. So there's a little bit, well, is that ethical? Is it this? Is it that? And I think, you know, authors are probably going to have to determine what they're comfortable with. But it's really changed, this conference has really changed my perception on that and has probably changed my plans for marketing in 2025.
That's a pretty big insight. Yeah. That's such a big topic that has been roiling around in the author world for a while. And what you're describing is pretty much where I landed on it, of it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. You can wish it away. You can wish all you'd like, but I can wish for a lot of things. If wishes were horses, we would all be cowboys. Anyway, so I don't know that's how the saying goes, but it should be.
Can I add on the AI? Yes. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but talking with Paul, and also having been to Joanna Penn's presentation, and as well, especially Andrew Davis yesterday, and he did a presentation. It's one of the best presentations I've ever seen, but also content-wise, he was talking about your digital doppelganger, sort of your digital version of yourself. And he was basically, he went through this entire fantastic presentation. I was wondering that these presentations are going to be available publicly, not publicly, for us, right? But not,
yes,
not for the public, right?
If people are signing up for the digital ticket, I know in previous years, the 20 books people made it available to everybody, but that was not cost effective for Author Nation.
Okay. So. I'm just saying, if you're listening to this and you did not come to Author Nation, you wanted to, and here I am saying something I have no idea about, but if that digital ticket is available, these presentations in the past few days, I mean, we're on day 1.5 here, really, and they have just been fantastic. So just a brief thing on the doppelganger, what he was talking about, and this goes into quite some detail. I'm going to try to cover in 1 minute what he covered in 45, but basically he created, through using ChatGPT over and over, ChatGPT sort of got to know him, so to speak, and helped him. It was like a sounding board or even a partner that he could say, hey, here's my, so he's a public speaker. He said, hey, here's my one page speaker pitch to the Author Nation company, to the Author Nation conference here, and here's what I plan on doing. Hey, hey, and he gave his doppelganger a name, so his name is Drew, and he's sort of a magician guy. So his doppelganger, he gave the name Drew Dini.
Oh my goodness.
Right? And he said, actually that was one of his tips, he says, give your doppelganger an actual name and treat, and this is hard to understand if you don't know ChatGPT, I'm just getting to know it, but he said, give it a name as if it's a real person, and I know this is kind of freaky for AI hesitant crowd, but he treated it like this doppelganger was his sparring partner. Hey, what do you think of, based on previous speech presentations that I've done, what do you think of this one-page pitch that I'm giving to, I'm going to send to Author Nation? And then Drew Dini came back and said, hey, you know, this is great. Hey, you know what? You said that this is a writer's conference as compared to the past conferences were, which were about XYZ. So you might want to add this little bit about and gear it towards writers. And then the real Drew said, you know, wow, thanks, Drew Dini. I didn't put that together. Yeah, and then they literally have a conversation back and forth with, okay, and, hey, Drew Dini, so how could I implement that? Where would I implement that into my pitch? Eugenie said, you know what, let's put it in the third paragraph here where you talk about XYZ, and now let's talk about writers. So I'm just giving a one little tiny example that if you are absolutely new to ChatGPT and AI, one big thing that is really hard to get our heads around was that he said, don't treat the old the new technology with the same eyes and mindset and perspective as old technology. It's not just Google. It's not just give me restaurants for Mexican food in the neighborhood, right? Which ChatGPT can do as well. It's more of a conversation. Based on my past work, what would you say, like, how could I do this better? That was my big takeaway from yesterday. So to jump on the AI bandwagon here for a moment, and we're not going to have this, of course, there's an entire chat here about AI, but it has been a big topic in the past day and a half.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Amanda, what are some of the insights that you've gotten thus far?
So I'm somebody who has like been watching all the 20 books videos every year. I've gotten the digital pass. I've watched them live. I've like absorbed all the knowledge, and I think the presentations are always really great. Like there's all kinds of nuggets. I got even Drew Davis yesterday was mentioning that like 72% of books that are bought are not finished. And it's like half your reviews probably are coming from people who haven't finished your books and will tell you people why they didn't finish them. So you need to grab their attention and make sure they finish it and stuff like that. It's really, really useful. But I find actually being here in person and meeting the people, like hearing them talk about their takeaways, I'm like, oh, so maybe I should look into AI or going to the meetups where you meet people in your genre or in a different genre of different places. Like, authors are so generous with their time and with their knowledge. And as a community, just finding that here is really, I think, really helpful for me.
You know, it's funny because I've talked to several different people who have applied or, excuse me, have attended quite a few different types of conferences, and to a T, all of them talk about how friendly and welcoming the author community is versus some of the other communities that they have, or the other conferences that they have attended, yeah. that One gentleman was telling me about attending digital marketing conferences, and that they were just sort of smarmy, and like you feel like you kind of need to take a shower afterwards, right? Like they just it's just ugh. And he said, man, the vibe at author conferences is just wild. This is so different. So that's been I find interesting, because the only other conferences that I've ever attended have been for librarians. And as you can imagine, librarians are also friendly and love to talk about books. And so to me, this is just the way conferences are, right? All of them, because these are the only ones I've ever experienced. So anyway, I personally have had such a good time in terms of meeting people. Being able to meet people in person who I've been talking to for years sometimes online, and also meeting some of the vendors that are here. There are a lot of startups that are trying some pretty cool things in the author space. One of the companies that we talked to quite a bit yesterday was Curios. Excuse me, there's an S at the end. And I've just been super impressed with Curios and what they're doing. They're trying to help authors sell direct off their websites without needing to be a computer programmer, where sometimes you kind of need to be to optimize Shopify or WooCommerce. So they're trying to take that tech piece away. And I found that really fascinating. And I've been really impressed by them. But I mean, it's just been so many different vendors with a lot of different viewpoints on how they can help the indie author be more successful.
You know, on the vendor note, and on the idea of being here in person in real life, is a Book Vault, for example. Well, even Atticus and Vellum. Atticus and Vellum had open paperbacks that they are creations of their product, and you can see in real life, you can hold it in your hands, you can look at the paperback with this awesome, you know, per chapter image, and I think, oh, that's what it looks like. That's, and then with Book Vault, actual foil covers, sprayed edges, you know, what does that really look like? What does it feel like? I can hold it in my hands, and I mean, I mostly write nonfiction. I'm like, I need a fantasy cover. I need gold foil. I need a little doohickey thingy at the bottom. I need sprayed edges. I have to create it.
Yes.
I think I'm not going to sell any books, but I want to write a fantasy cover for my nonfiction book on accounting with a dragon. I need a dragon.
Yes.
And you know, a few weeks ago, we had a what you can get out of Author Nation when you come here. And one of the things that I had was, okay, I want to improve my author store on my website, and there were a few different elements to that. So I've been able to visit some of the vendors that that I think will get me there. We were actually on one side of us, we had a booth for Wide for the Win on Industry Day on Monday, and on one side of us was Curios, and they were really interesting. And on the other side was a company, Pierre Gentil's company, who can actually help me make my author store better.
Wow.
But having that surprise of, oh, I wasn't even planning to think about my AI strategy when
wow.
I was here,
yeah.
is really, you know, know what you want to get from your goals, but also be open to, oh, maybe this can really help my author business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The serendipity, I feel like. I had someone recently ask me what my favorite word was, and I feel like serendipity is a great word for author conferences,
yeah.
where it's just, you know, things just work out, and you're like, wow, I wouldn't have expected to have that kind of a conversation, but it's been really great to meet people and see different perspectives. I met a gentleman who makes his living as a KU author, right? And he spends $500,000 a year on Facebook ads, and is at that end of the spectrum. And then I am at the other end of the spectrum, right? Completely wide, and don't do any Facebook ads at all. And yet we both can have successful author careers. And I think that's one of the things that I love about the indie world, is that you can make your career fit what your goals are and what you want to achieve and what you're comfortable with. And so then coming to a conference like this, you can then meet other like-minded people that you're like, oh, I hadn't even considered doing it that way. Yes. And taking your own aspirations to the next level as you learn a new strategy or idea.
Yeah. And my first Author Nation was in 2019. Well, when it was called 20 Books. But I remember when I was telling people I was wide, people were like, you're wide? What are you doing here? And now, it's nobody even bats an eye that we're wide, first of all. And everybody is very supportive. It is no longer, like, it has democratized or something. Maybe that's not quite the right word. But it's no longer a KU-focused event. It's not anti-KU or anything like that. But it is so accepting of wide authors. And there are so many, all of the sessions that hardly any of them that I've seen in the catalog, and certainly none of them that I've attended, are KU specific or even KU majority focused. It's really great to see the wide attitude making that the inroads that we've made in the last 3 or 4 years.
But even wider than wide as well, with the audio and these bespoke, you know, the foil books, that's way wider than wide. Even the fact that we're here doing, they set up this whole podcast area for us. We're doing a podcast for Wide for the Win here. And that is part of this event. And that's not words on a page. That's not digital KU only exclusive stuff. No, it's not even close to that. We're so far, we're so wide. You know, it's beyond just, it's even beyond books. We're here with audio. We have some of us on video.
Yeah, Aaron did a talk yesterday about all the different ways of being wide and how it extends far beyond like what you would think of it being. And one thing I've noticed here today also is that even KU authors are also like, oh, some of my series are in KU, some of my series are wide. Mm-hmm. And I think that a part of being wide is also like, yeah, maybe try something small in KU, but like it doesn't mean if you're in KU that you can't also like be wide with your stuff too. Try it out, maybe with a new series or something, like give it a chance and join us.
Join us in the wide revolution. Yeah. I've had quite a few people asking, you know, what are the steps that I would take to go wide? How do you suggest moving my catalog over? And again, back to, there's a million different ways of doing that, right? And ways of tackling that, where you could just dump all of your books wide, you can move one series over, there's so many different strategies. But I started Wide for the Win with Susie back in 2019 because I was really just getting grumpy, I guess is the best word, with the like constant negativity of why is it that you're wide? That's dumb. You're an idiot. Nobody makes money who is wide. And I'm like, well, I'm going to prove you wrong. People who know me know I'm fairly... We decided to replace the word stubborn with persistent. So I am a persistent person, and I will prove you wrong. And so started the Wide for the Win group. But now there are so many people who have chosen to do this, and they're coming up to me at this conference and saying, you know, I'm so glad you started the group, and I've never met them before. I had no, you know, not that... I just didn't know they existed. And I've been able to help, well, the group has been able to help them be more successful, which just makes my heart so happy. Like, yay. Yes, I love seeing Wide for the Win changing people's lives.
You know what's really nice about meeting people here is that, like, that woman we met this morning, Erin, who is brand new, and she's in KU, and she says, wow, it's all so overwhelming. Just at least KU is a beginning point, but I'd really like to be wide. And one big takeaway I have from you, Aaron, is you said how Amazon likes, you know, quick and often and sort of a short-term game, whereas wide is really a long-term game. Mm-hmm. It's a long-term strategy. Mm-hmm. And I'm in it for the long term, so that is much more appealing for me, is the wide game. And we can't knock those who are just getting started, and they have, and it is so overwhelming. It's absolutely overwhelming. So, and she was in KU, and that's fine. She's just getting started, and she can see down the horizon. She knew she wanted to be wise. She's like, oh, wow, there's so many things. How do I get there? So that's fine. And we meet those people, and we can just tell them, hey, we're wide. This is we can help you do it. And come on and join the slow boat down the river. You know?
There are many ways to get to the mouth of the river. Sometimes it's a jet ski and sometimes it's a slow boat.
Yeah, that is one of the things actually that I talked about during my presentation yesterday of why wide was a lot of people will start out in KU because it is so overwhelming when you think about becoming an indie author. All of the different things that you have to do. Like, so many people are like, oh my goodness, I can't believe how hard it is to write a book. And I'm like, gosh, when you get to a certain point, writing the book is the easy part, right? Like, it's the covers and the blurbs and the marketing and this, all of that that's quite overwhelming. And so writing the book is like, got that part covered. It's the rest of it. So people will often start out in KU because it's one platform. They can go to one place, they can go to Amazon and just be done.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I talked about yesterday in the presentation was you can still do that, but go to a distributor instead. So go to Draft Digital, Publish Drive, or Streetlib and use them and publish once. And then you can move and you can go wide, or excuse me, you can go direct later on if you would like. But if you are so overwhelmed that you just can't figure out one more thing, I have been there.
Like, yeah, we've all been there.
I can't handle one more thing. My brain has said, enough is enough, no more one more things. In that case, then perhaps going to a distributor instead of going to Amazon, that it's just one for one. I'm not asking to add anything on. And if you feel like you can handle one more thing, maybe go direct to Amazon and use the distributor for everything else, right?
Yeah.
But like, you don't, the idea has been out there quite often that if you're just going to go to one place, you should just go to Amazon. And I am trying in my own little way of saying, how about if the one place that you go to instead is a distributor?
Mm-hmm. Great.
That's one thing that was really good about Monday is the vendor day. There's so many different places that can help you so much with making the journey, not just as an author, but like even going wide, like so much easier. Like, Wide for the Win was there to help us out and give us all the information, but the distributors were there. So if you're like, I'm really intimidated, the distributors were there. The like Google Play was there, Amazon was there. You can ask some of your questions there. Vellum and Atticus, and like, there's a lot of ways that you can make it so much easier on yourself than having to do everything like individual platforms and figuring it all out. There's so many ways and people that can help you, and a lot of them were there on Monday.
And again, the tactile, really being here in person, like that. Actually, that same woman this morning, I don't know why it came up, but I'm like, she writes her books in Word, and I said, okay, that's nice. But she said, yeah, but all that formatting stuff. I'm like, let me walk you over to the Atticus or Vellum tables and show you what you can do. And it's just, there it is, literally in your hands, and you can see it with your eyes in real life. And that makes such a difference, rather than, you know, reading some post or watching some video or listening to a podcast about it. But here, being in
but
the...
But you should always listen to ours.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, favorite, like... follow. But here, being here in person is just, it's such a, I feel like I'm promoting in-person conferences. No, wait a minute, that's exactly what I'm doing.
I just want to say, like, even if, because we're talking about Vellum and Atticus and stuff for formatting, but even, like, Readsy are here and Draft to Digital are here, and they also have the free versions. Like, if, like, cost is an issue, there are so many ways you can even, like, without spending a dime.
You're right. That's a good point.
Make your life so much easier.
And see, there we have it, right? There we have two perspectives sitting at the same table talking about different things. And you brought up something I didn't, I know Readsy and Draft to Digital, of course, but it didn't occur to me. But you're right. Having that in person and having this immediate feedback in real life from real people, it's just, there's no substitute for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is, It is a bit overwhelming, I will say, for people who are listening who are like, oh, but I have, you know, social anxiety and things like that, right? I don't tend to have that as much. And even me coming into the hotel, especially the casino part of things, it's like bing, bong, boom, 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 you know, and there's the lights and the flushing and the noises, and I'm just like, whoa. So I will say your room can be so lovely sometimes. Just go back to your room, close the curtains, dim the lights, and go, ah, I'm by myself, and sort of recharge. And don't be afraid to do that. That's been something
and,
that...
And as you said earlier, I think if you've never been to an author conference before, or but you've been to other conferences, like you mentioned earlier, some other industry, and how it was like cutthroat or smarmy or something, whereas I think people cannot believe that it's actually cooperative and collaborative here in the writer universe. And I truly believe it is. Well, I don't believe it is. I know it is. And it's just the way it is. And it's hard for outsiders or early adopters or beginners to believe that that could be true. And so if you're thinking about an in-person conference, but you're scared it's going to be competitive or cutthroat or it's my competition or something, I don't totally get why, but it is truly a collaborative, friendly, not only that, supportive and inspirational and motivational environment at such a place. So it's a unique experience being a writer at a writer's conference. And again, I feel like I'm doing the writer's conference plug here, but we are really, right?
Right.
We are, and it'll help your career. And who, I think it was, again, the Drew Davis who said something about the, or no, I think it was Joe Solari in the opening, and he talked about how if you have an accountability partner or a partner, you have your chances of success increase something like exponentially.
They double, and if you have both, it's like four times.
Yes. Yeah.
For the same amount of books published, for the same, like, the same career level, it's that much more income that you're making, I think.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I didn't know that. Makes
sense. All right. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed joining us today. I know that we've certainly been having a lot of fun here. Everyone, say goodbye and go wide, right?
Bye, everybody.
Go wide. Wide for the win.
Bye, everybody.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
You've been listening to the Wide for the Win podcast. For links to our Facebook and Circle groups and other helpful Wide publishing resources, go to wideforthewin.com. The music for this podcast, Sax and Rock and Roll, was written and performed by Kevin MacLeod and was licensed at incompetech.com.